The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th canto, chapter number 31, text number 21, given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Dasadhikari, recorded on January 9th, 2009, in Los Angeles, California, USA.
So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th canto, chapter number 31. Narada instructs the Prachetas, text number 21.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Na bhajati kumani shinam saijyam. Hare adanatma dano priyo rasagya. Shruta danakula karmanam madarye. Vidadati papam akinchaneshu satsu. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Tri Dandi Go Swami Maharaj Prabhupada. The Supreme Personality of Godhead becomes very dear to those devotees who have no material possessions but are fully happy in possessing the devotional service of the Lord. Indeed, the Lord relishes the devotional activities of such devotees. Those who are puffed up with material education, wealth, aristocracy, and fruitive activity are very proud of possessing material things, and they often deride the devotees. Even if such people offer the Lord worship, the Lord never accepts them. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is dependent on His pure devotees. He does not even accept the offerings of those who are not devotees. A pure devotee is one who feels he does not possess anything material. A devotee is always happy in possessing the devotional service of the Lord. Devotees may sometimes appear materially poor. Because they are spiritually advanced and enriched, they are most dear to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Such devotees are free from attachment to family, society, friendship, children, and so on. They abandon affection for all these material possessions and are always happy in possessing the shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. The Supreme Personality of Godhead understands the position of His devotee. If a person derides a pure devotee, he is never recognized by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In other words, the Lord never excuses one who offends a pure devotee. There are many examples of this in history. A great mystic yogi, Durvasa Muni, offended the great devotee Ambarish Maharaj. And the great sage Durvasa was to be chastised by the Sudarshan Chakra of the Lord. Even though the great mystic directly approached the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he was never excused. And those on the path of liberation should be very careful not to offend a pure devotee.
Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha. Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajima Sadaitam Zavadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitamscha
So if we want to be accepted by Krishna, we must be very, very, very careful not to offend the devotees of Krishna. So, how does one do that? What is the secret? How never to offend Vaishnavas? Some people say, well, I have my solution. I will just go to the Himalayas, sit and not associate, therefore I won't commit any offense. But actually that is offense. That is called offense by neglect. That solution doesn't work. To being a hermit, that doesn't work. The actual solution is given by our great Acharya Narottam Das Thakur. Anande bolo hadi bhaja vrindavan Shri Guru Vaishnava pade majai aman. Narottam has so nicely enlightened us in this regard. You simply worship. Just as you worship Guru's lotus feet, you also worship lotus feet of Vaishnavas. This morning I had a rare opportunity. I was offering my basins to Sir, and his feet were there, and I just went right for the feet. He was captured in the hallway back here. He had nowhere to escape. I just reached for those feet. So the more we can worship the feet of Guru and Vaishnavas, you see. Why feet, they ask? I mean, why the feet of all things? That is humility. We are taught that is how we meditate on deities also. We begin on the feet and gradually work our way up. That is the way to approach the deity and the way to approach the Vaishnava also, through the feet. Humbly bowing down at the feet, and this way we approach. So what does that mean? We just have to stay down on the ground 24 hours a day? No, we have so much work to do. We're pushing for the Sankirtan movement, so we have to get up. We can't just stay on our feet the whole day. I mean down on the ground at the feet of the Vaishnavas the whole day. So how do we carry that same mood of being at the feet of the Vaishnavas with us throughout the day? That's the question. Well, we have to always appreciate the devotees, worship their qualities. You see, this is not one of those insider secrets. If I'm always thinking, well, this devotee has that fault, and this devotee has that fault, and that devotee has this fault, and on and on and on, fault, 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 and what is manifest in me? Fault. You see, whatever you meditate on, that's what you manifest in your own character. So if I'm meditating in the fault of this devotee, that fault, 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 then what comes out of me? Fault, 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 fault. You see? But the same principle works the opposite way. If I'm always thinking, well, this devotee has that wonderful quality, this devotee has that wonderful quality, I'm always looking with every single devotee in the whole movement. When I thinking, trying to find something, wonderful quality of every devotee, you see. That I can think of this devotee and that he has this nice quality, that nice quality. In this way, if I'm always thinking of the nice qualities of the devotees, then what becomes manifest in me? Nice qualities, you see. You become like that on which you're meditating. So I'm always seeing the saintly qualities of the devotees, and what happens? I become saint. By the mercy of their sangha, actually meditating on a Vaishnava is also associating with the Vaishnava, you see. Prabhupada confirmed this. What was that devotee's name who went to Germany all by himself? Shivananda. All by himself, some young brahmachari in Germany. He was there in West Berlin, living in some condemned building or something. But Prabhupada told him, he said, if you always remember my humble teachings, then you will always have my association and the association of your God brothers also. So, we don't have to be in the physical proximity of a Vaishnava to get the blessings of his Sangha. Just by thinking of him, his nice qualities, we can associate. So, in this way, if our mind, our heart is full of thoughts of the glories of all the different devotees throughout this Sankirtan movement, you see. As my mind thinks of this devotee, my mind thinks of that devotee, I can appreciate the qualities. All day long, I can appreciate the qualities of the devotees. Then very quickly, by the mercy of their sangha, which is actually Prabhupada's sangha, these ISKCON devotees, they are the limbs of Prabhupada. So we have thousands of different ways we can connect with Prabhupada through the ISKCON devotees. So in this way, we get Prabhupada's sangha. And in this way, actually, this just as Krishna says, ye me bhakta jana parata, na me bhaktas chate janaha, mad bhaktanam cha ye bhaktas, te me bhakta tamamata. Krishna tells Arjuna in what Purana? The Adi Purana. He says, my dear Arjuna, one who is my devotee, na me bhaktas. Not my devotee. But the devotee of my devotee, he is my devotee. You see. So the same thing. Prabhupada didn't like devotees who only wanted to respect him. He didn't want to respect the God brothers, you see. Prabhupada liked those devotees who respected and worked and followed the instructions of his devotees. So in the same way, the more we become devotees of Prabhupada's devotees, you see, we become more and more appreciated and accepted and blessed by Srila Prabhupada. So that is the great opportunity of this Krishna consciousness movement. There's so many devotees. I'm traveling all over the world to so many continents, so many temples, and it's just so wonderful. We have such a huge, growing family all over the world of the people coming to get the shelter of Prabhupada's movement. And to have their association is just the greatest blessing. To be able to associate with the Prabhupada Anugas all over the world. They're the greatest people on the planet. They're taking advantage of this mercy of Srila Prabhupada. So I'm indeed very honored to be here in this great Western world headquarters of our Krishna consciousness movement. You all are spearheading the way in book distribution, deity worship. You're keeping this spirit that Prabhupada established so wonderfully. I come here to get my batteries charged. You all are great advanced devotees. I'm just a struggling neophyte coming to get the blessings of all of you great stalwart preachers and servants of Krishna. So, This is a great lesson, this particular verse. There's so many points, we really don't have time to get into all of them. But one of the most profound points, the Lord relishes the devotional service of such devotees. Many times people ask me, I have many students I cultivate through the internet, and a very common question I get is this: why am I not getting taste out of the holy names? And I tell them, don't you try to get taste, you try to give taste to Krishna by the way you chant his name. You see, this is the insider's secret. As long as I'm trying to think I want to enjoy the name, then it's transcendental in one sense, but it's still self-centered. You see, I want to enjoy Krishna. Of course, Krishna is enjoyable by his devotees, but how he is enjoyable? He is enjoyable when we become enjoyed by him. You see, that's the key. He relishes the devotional activities of such devotees. So we should try to act in such a way that Krishna will relish the way that we think. He'll relish the way that we speak, and he'll relish what we're doing. That Krishna can actually relish and enjoy what we're doing, you see. Krishna can see. He has a very powerful television set. He can see every single thing that we're thinking, speaking, and acting 24/7. We're always being observed by Krishna in everything we do. Prabhupada told us that in Vrindavan. He said, Krishna has his book, and Yamaraj also. So whose book do you want to be written up in? That's our choice. Yamaraj's book or Krishna's book? We are being observed. Every single thought, word, and deed, 24/7. Nothing is going unnoticed. So we want that Krishna will relish our thoughts, our words, and our deeds. You see? And that's how we will relish. To the extent that we become relishable by Krishna, to that extent and to that extent only can we actually relish Krishna consciousness. This is the principle. So simply try to become relished by Krishna. You see, this is Krishna consciousness. The more we can please Prabhupada, the more we can please Krishna, that is how we become pleased. So the same principle, the more we can please the devotees, the more we can enliven and enthuse the devotees by the way that we deal with them, that will be our happiness and our enlivenment. This process is a process of giving. Give, 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 give. That is the mood of Vrindavan. Yashoda, Kirtida, the Da word, you see. Dadati, give. The more we give, 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 give. That's how we give. In the material world, it's this greed. Get, take, 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 take. That is not the way to be happy. To be a taker. Be a giver. That's the way to be happy, you see. In the material world, I may try to enjoy being a taker. But according to my karma, I will get a certain amount of taking and a certain amount of being took. Mostly being took. Cheaters and the cheated. So if my happiness is based on how much I can take or get, my happiness will be very tiny happiness. A drop of water in the desert. But if my happiness is based on giving, how much I can please the devotees, how much I can serve the devotees, how much I can serve the living entities by distributing Prabhupada's wisdom to them, and by books, by preaching, by prasadam, how much I can give. There are unlimited opportunities for giving. This world is dying because of a lack of Krishna consciousness. These people are suffering like anything, and it's getting worse and worse and worse and worse. All hell is breaking loose on this planet right now. And we are the only people who have the solution. We're the only ones who have the solution for the problem by Prabhupada's mercy. So how much a responsibility we have. Immeasurable, inconceivable responsibility we have to give them Krishna consciousness. So therefore we must cultivate it very seriously ourselves. If you don't have Krishna consciousness, how you can give it, right? If my mind is always engaged in lust, greed, anger, madness, illusion, and envy, what preaching I can do? But if I'm seriously trying to conquer these enemies, lust, anger, greed, madness, illusion, and envy, seriously every day, getting up early, taking my bath, putting on devotional clothing, putting on my tilak, coming to the Mangalarti, trying to cultivate that pure mood of surrender to Prabhupada, to Guru, to the Acharyas, to Krishna, then Krishna will bless me. He will give me potency, you see. He will give us the potency to very nicely, attractively, powerfully, intelligently, effectively pass on this mercy that we ourselves are experiencing, you see. So I can't think of any more opportune moment in history than we are in right now. This is the most amazing, wonderful, exciting moment in the history of the world, as far as I'm concerned. We have the greatest opportunity. I mean, why watch the news when you can be the news? Why study history and you can make history every day by preaching? This is the greatest opportunity. Prabhupada is empowering us all to be Sankirtan heroes who save the world in his darkest hour. He's empowering each and every one of us who seriously take his instructions. I mean, I can't think of anything more nectarian, more exciting, more thrilling than this. Wow! What a lifestyle. Spiritual revolutionaries, you see. Prabhupada has given us this. Empowerment. Krishna Shakti Vine Nahi Taravartana. Prabhupada is empowering each and every one of his sincere followers to be with Krishna Shakti, to be a revolutionary for pushing forward this movement. So this is something really special, something really dynamic, something really exciting that we have, this Krishna consciousness movement. It will indeed go down in history for having saved the movement, save the world in its darkest hour of despair. It will. The historians will note it down that this Krishna consciousness movement, it's actually saved the world. It's a fact. This is going to be noted down as the greatest pivotal movement in the history of the world for changing the course of human history. Now, when it will fully manifest, that I cannot say. But that it will manifest in due course, I absolutely guarantee it on the strength of the words of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. Saj jana durjana pangu jadda anagana prema vanyaya dubaila jagatera jana. What is that prema vanyaya? It is tsunami. Tsunami of transcendental bliss, which will sweep the entire planet, inundating everyone. Everyone will become drowned. It doesn't matter whether they are Sajjana pious men, whether they are Durjana impious men, Jadda Andagana lame, invalid, blind. Everyone will become inundated. There's no escaping. Even the personality of Kali, who was given some hiding places by Parikshit Maharaj, he will also be inundated. Kali, Parikshit gave the hiding place, but our book distributors don't give any hiding place. Our Hainam parties, we don't give anyone hiding place. We go anywhere to distribute books, and even to a brothel. Wherever we go anywhere. Devotees are bold. They'll go anywhere and everywhere to distribute these books. Not that, well, that's one of Kali's authorized hiding places. No. Anywhere and everywhere. distribute the books, distribute the holy names, inundate this entire planet. You see, it's going to happen, and we're a part of it. And the more we purify our hearts and the more we sincerely try to push forward this great tidal wave, this tsunami of bliss, the more we can, the more we'll enjoy the hanging ten on the ultimate wave, Krishna consciousness. This is the wave, Prabhupada says like that, surf, sporting in the waves of the ocean of Lord Chaitanya's mercy. This is the ultimate surfing pastime, preaching Krishna consciousness, surfing on the wave of Lord Chaitanya's mercy. The surfers, how long does their wave last? I was just seeing them the other day, and I was in Lima just the other day. I was seeing the sufferers out there on their suffering boards. They have paddle way. They have to paddle so hard, paddling. And then some wave comes. Usually the waves are dinky. They have to wait a long time for a decent wave. And they finally get a decent wave. Half the time they can't even catch it properly. I mean, you know. But this wave of Lord Chaitanya's mercy, all you have to do is chant 16 rounds, follow regulated principles, follow Prabhupada's instructions, take the diksha from a bona fide acharya in the sampradaya. All you have to do is follow the instructions. You'll be riding that way. Back to home, back to Godhead. That wave that's inundating the whole world with prema. You'll ride that wave 24/7. When you wake up in the morning, Hare Krishna. When you brush your teeth, Hare Krishna. When you turn on that shower, Hare Krishna. When you put on your dhoti, your everything, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. Your whole life will be inundated with Krishna consciousness, you see. Where is there anything like this anywhere? Even if you have $10 billion, what can you purchase which compares with this? If you have all the money, all the power, all the prestige, and even of the demigods, still you cannot get something like this that Prabhupada has given us, you see. You cannot get it anywhere. This is inconceivable opulence. Inconceivable. What was the word Prabhupada used in the purport? He said, what was it? Enriched, yes. Devotees may sometimes appear materially poor because they are spiritually advanced and enriched. Want to be rich? Advance in Krishna consciousness. That is actual richness. You see. That's how you become very wealthy, man. Advance yourself in Krishna consciousness. Why wealthy? I don't have any money in the bank. I just have a couple of dhotis. How you can say wealthy? Well, what does Krishna say? Ananyaschinchayanto mam. Yejana paryapasate tesham nityabhyuktanam yogachemam vahamyaham. For those who worship me with exclusive devotion, meditating on my transcendental form, I preserve what they have and I carry what they lack. And Prabhupada in his lecture, how did he describe that verse? He said, I personally deliver to their door. Krishna is our FedEx man. Whatever you need, the FedEx man. He becomes the personal deliverer to the door of that devotee who has no other love except for Krishna. You see? So if that person who owns everything, who controls everything, gives you whatever you need to serve him materially and spiritually in all times, all places and circumstances, you are virtually the wealthiest person in the whole universe. Virtually you are, you see. So this is actual enrichment. We saw this in Prabhupada, you see. Fisher mansion, no problem, you see. Isn't it? So in this way, we have to follow our most glorious Srila Prabhupada. As Prabhupada told us, what did he say? Nothing to purchase except Krishna. This is Krishna consciousness. You see, I have nothing else. I want nothing but Krishna. I have no desire except for Krishna. You see, forget wealth. Forget beautiful women. Forget disciples. Forget liberation from birth and death. I simply want Krishna. That is pure bhakti, you see. No desire for any of these things. Of course, he may accept. Such a pure devotee, he can use unlimited wealth in Krishna's service. He can engage in little beautiful women in Krishna's service. He can have unlimited disciples also. If he's pure. But if the heart is not pure, we associate with wealth, women, and followers, fall down. We've seen it so many times, you see. So therefore, the most important thing is to cultivate pure devotional service. Sometimes we think there's other things more important. We have an annual festival of inspiration in New Vrindavan. Several years ago, after an unfortunate incident, some temple president had violated one of my disciples sexually. And I knew there was a great need to emphasize purity after that happened. It really came home to me. So I wanted to give a seminar on pure devotional service at the Festival of Inspiration. They said, no. But you can do one on internet preaching. So I said, look, if you let me do pure devotional service, I'll also do internet. Because, you know, I'm known for, they call me the internet guru sometimes. I've been so successful at cultivating people through the internet. And so anyway, they said, all right. So I gave two seminars back to back. Which one do you think was more popular? Pure devotional service. You can go to any cyber cafe and get on the internet, you see. But where, only in this movement can you get pure devotional service. Pure devotional service. Devotees are more interested in pure devotional service than internet. Jai. And I told the organizers, all right, next year you're on. But I was preaching in Europe next year. Haven't gone back since because I'm totally caught up in these round-the-world tours. But this is really where it's at, Prabhus and Matajis. This is where it's at, pure devotional service. That's what attracted us. That's what will save us. And that's what will deliver everyone back to home, back to Godhead. Pure devotional service. That service, that mood where the devotee doesn't care anymore about his own enjoyment. He just wants to give satisfaction to Krishna. That's his only desire. It's like the gopis. We don't care if we go to hell as long as Krishna's headache can be cured. You see, this is the move. I can go to hell, it's all right. But as long as Krishna can be happy, then that is my satisfaction. You see, this is the move. So anyway, I've gotten a little bit long-winded here today. I'm not leaving much time for questions. So I'll now open it up for questions. And you got to speak up here because my hearing is fading away with old age. I'll try to get my hearing aids in and see if that'll help. Any questions? Yeah. How do you know when?
I heard that if you want to know how to please Krishna.
Please?
How you pleasing Krishna.
You said the word please, how to please Krishna?
Please?
Yes, okay.
No. I'm
about to, you come here, you can tell me in my ear, come on. Whatever he's saying, you come here and tell me in my ear. That'll make it easier. You have it also? Maybe you let you... Anyway, go ahead. I'll try. How do you know when you're pleasing him?
Yeah.
See?
Yeah.
But how do you know when you're actually pleasing him? That's the question? All right. Bhakti pareshanu varo varaktir anyacca chaisa kruka eka kalaha It's a wonderful verse in the Bhagavatam which explains this. That devotion, direct experience of the Lord, and detachment from all material things occur simultaneously for one who is actually advancing in Krishna consciousness. Just as nourishment, eradication of hunger and satisfaction incur increasingly with each bite from one who is engaged in eating. Does anybody of you all eat here? Anybody eat? Yes. We have eaters here? Yes. So we all know what it means when you eat. When you eat, it really tastes good. I mean, wow. And you get strength, you get nourishment, you get satisfaction by eating. So in the same way, the Bhagavatam says, it's the same way that you get nourishment, eradication of hunger, and satisfaction. In a similar way as one who is actually pleasing Krishna, they will get bhakti, pareshanu baro varaktir. They will get devotion. They will get direct experience of the Lord, direct perception of the Lord, and detachment from all material things. So there you have it, Prabhu. The more that you actually feel love for Krishna, that when you think of him, your heart becomes soft. You see? When you think of his pastime and you think of his devotees, your heart becomes softened. You go, wow, this Krishna is so wonderful. He's so sweet. I mean, he's so beautiful. You see? When you actually feel softness of the heart when you think about Krishna, when you chant his name, you feel some softness, something, you feel some softness of the heart. That means you're pleasing him. And then the next thing stated is direct experience of the Lord. Of course, right now we're so dull, how are we going to directly experience Krishna? But actually, the more we gradually purify ourselves, we'll feel connected with Krishna to everything. To everything we see, everything we hear, everything we smell, and we'll become more and more conscious of Krishna in everything. In fact, Prabhupada told us, I remember the first time there in, maybe some of you were there, in 72 Ratha Yatra, 71 Ratha Yatra. How many were there in San Francisco Ratha Yatra, 1971? Anybody? Yeah, it was so wonderful. Prabhupada told us, he got up on Subhadra Devi's car. The very first word that came out of his mouth actually was, Jagannath. He said, Jagannath Shami, Nayana Badagami, Bhava Tume. And then he told us, he said, every one of you have seen God. He said, because Krishna is the light of the sun and the moon. He said, actually, to make spiritual advancement, it is not difficult. He said, every day you're drinking water, once, twice, thrice, more than that. If every time you drink water, you remember that Krishna is the taste of the water, then immediately become Krishna conscious. So, even now in our gross state of neophyte, you know, madness, even now when we take some water, we can remember Krishna. And that way we're getting direct connection with Krishna through the tongue. And prasadam is there. So the point is, the more you can connect with Krishna in everything that you do, when you see things, you try to relate what you're seeing with Krishna. I am the light of the sun and the moon, you see. I am the flower-bearing spring. The more you can start connecting with Krishna in everything, then you know you're pleasing him. In the third item, we become detached from material things. You see, when you see a beautiful young girl, instead of thinking, wow, you see, I could really enjoy her. Instead of thinking that way, you think, how could I engage her in Krishna's service? You see, so Krishna can be enjoy this her service, you see. In this way, one can understand I'm actually pleasing Krishna. Of course, there is Guru, and my Guru Maharaj is pleased. Then I know Krishna is pleased. And if my Guru Maharaj is not there, then they ask Prabhupada, when you are not here, how we know if we are pleasing you? He said the GBC and the temple president are there. Here you have Svavasprabhu, you see. Are you pleasing Svavasprabhu? I hope I'm pleasing him. I'm giving this lecture. I just hope that I'm pleasing him. Otherwise, I'm in trouble. Because that Prabhupada will be angry at me. Rukmini Dwarkati should be angry. I just hope that I'm pleasing Svavasprabhu, you see. He's my temple president today. Because I'm here at this temple and he's the in charge. And he's my superior Prabhu here. My temple president today. So in this way, if you're pleasing your temple president, you're pleasing your GBC, you're pleasing your guru, you're pleasing the senior devotees who know what's right and what's wrong. In this way, you can also understand you're pleasing Krishna. So that's a very nice question. And that's really what we should always be thinking. You know, am I pleasing him? How can I please him in this way? We want to give unlimited pleasure to Krishna. We can only be happy to the extent that we make Krishna happy. Anything else is illicit happiness, so-called happiness. Dirty happiness. It doesn't work. This doesn't work. It may appear to work by Maya's potency, but it never works. So anyway, I've exhausted my time. A little bit over time, and I don't want to get Savas's Prabhu's anger that you're going over time. So I thank you all very much. Antarad Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.